Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Bryce, what's going on? It's the baby boy and the purple pants podcast manager and the Survivor news person, news anchor, I guess you would call it, Jack Atkins. It's been a while. It's been a bit of a Survivor hiatus, but I know they're back and they're starting to film 41 and we got 42 on the horizon. So I can't wait to come back and cover the new seasons once they start releasing. Other than that, just wanted to update the posse. I've been well, have some exciting things in the works that I think you guys will see very soon. But enjoy this episode because it's a Purple Pants Podcast.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. I am your baby boy. I'm your host, Bryce Isaiah, and I am glad to be in your eardrums this week. Welcome to all of our first time listeners. What it do? Welcome to my Purple Pants Posse. What's tea, y'all? I am well. I hope all of you are well. I hope you had an amazing weekend. I hope you had a great Easter, whatever that looked like for you guys. I hope you got to spend time with some family. Hope you got to eat some ham and chill. I'm excited for this week's episode, and I'm even more excited that you clicked that button to get up on in it, because we setting it off this week. If you can make sure that you are subscribed to this podcast, the Purple Pants Podcast, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from, make sure you click that button and subscribe. Make sure you write a review. Make sure you give your baby boy some 5 stars, and you tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. That is a Purple Pants Podcast. I am on a podcast high from last week's episode, Living Your Truth. I can't tell you the amount of love, the amount of messages that I have received from listeners, from people that don't even normally listen to the podcast, saying how much they got out of the podcast, how Amon and I talking about the struggles that we endure, living our lives and living in our truths as gay, queer, black men, have really resonated with you guys. And so many people have wrote me messages, sent me emails, text me, just saying their own struggles and how hearing it on the podcast, how hearing people talk about their struggles has really almost set them free and given them permission to live in their truth. And I, baby boy is lost for words. That warms my heart. And I'm still on this journey of life, figuring out what my purpose is. But I know a part of my purpose is to live in my truth and to share my story with you guys and whoever listens. And it just truly warms my heart to know that me living in my truth, speaking about the hurdles that I have endured, have been able to really shed some light and help other people. So I am so grateful for that. And if you guys have not listened to last week's episode, Living Your Truth, I encourage you to do that. Okay? get into it. Living your truth. Press play. Now on to this week's episode. We are setting it off. Set it off. And by all means, I mean we are setting it off. I'm really excited for this week's episode. We got a jam packed episode for you guys this week. So let me go on and give you guys the rundown. We have the church announcements. And on the menu this week, we welcome back Chappelle from the class of 2020 RHAP, who recently celebrated a birthday. Happy birthday, baby boy. We are doing another one of our classic black film reviews. And this week we are reviewing the movie Set It Off with Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Kimberly Elise. And so we talk about some of the things that we, after rewatching, didn't recognize watching it as children. We talk about some of the systemic issues that from in 1996 are still very much so prevalent today in 2021. So it is a great review. I'm always happy to have Chappelle on the podcast. We've got Barb's message and freak of the week. So listen, if you living in your truth, okay, then it's time to set it off. Let's get into these church announcements.
Welcome to church. Welcome to church. It's a church announcement, so now. Welcome to church.
And on this week's church announcement, I wanted to just share something with the posse that, you know, I've been going through in the sense of I'm always on a road for a better Bryce. I'm always on this journey to love myself, to put myself first. I feel like I'm always giving so much of myself to others, and I don't really give as much to myself. And on that journey, I'm learning that setting boundaries for my personal self is okay. And because I set clear boundaries does not make me a mean person. And the other day when I was scrolling through the internet, I had really found this statement that resonated in my blood, in my soul. And I wanted to share it with the posse because on our journey to loving ourselves, on our journey to putting ourselves first, we don't need to apologize for things that we do that, you know, make ourselves happy, that, you know, complete us. So I just wanted to share this for this week's church announcements. And it says, things I am no longer apologizing for. I am no longer apologizing for my feelings, for having firm boundaries, saying no to something I'm not interested in doing, being emotional or crying, not answering the phone when I can't or don't feel like it, needing a break, asking for clarity when I don't understand. We are no longer apologizing for how other people behave, changing and becoming better, not agreeing with someone, putting myself first. I can't be anything to anyone if I'm nothing to myself. Ooh. Let me read that again for y'all. Things I am no longer apologizing for. Putting myself first. I can't be anything to anyone if I am nothing to myself. Not settling for less than what I deserve. Letting go when I need to. Healing at my own pace. Okay? Purple Pants Posse, I want y'all to take this. I want you guys to be empowered that when we're on our road to the better us, these are things that we don't need to apologize for. And I know if any of y'all are like me, all of these things I constantly am apologizing for. I am constantly feeling like I am doing something wrong when I'm putting myself first. But listen, on this episode, we setting it off and we're no longer apologizing for that. We're living in our truth and we are doing things that make us feel good. And this is going to conclude this week's church announcements. Now buckle up, settle in, cause we setting it off.
It's a man who, it's a man you, me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you, me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
Keeping the menu rolling, I am excited to bring back none other than the heavyweight champion, Chappelle. Back, hold on, see the devil.
That bell raggedy. That's what you got for the heavyweight champ? That's it?
That's, okay. I mean, it's really the lightweight, but I mean.
No, it, clap for the heavyweight champ, me.
Anyway, I am excited to have Chappelle back on the podcast. It seems that you guys enjoy our movie review. So this has become a staple here at the Purple Pants Podcast. Chappelle and I will review a black classic movie once a month, and you guys can help decide which movie we want to watch. So far, we've watched Hoodlum, Bumpy, okay? And then we watched Soul Food, Faith, My Husband.
Faith F, and, Your Husband.
You know, it seems that I thought about this earlier, Chappelle, before I tell them what movie we watching, but as they're listening, they'll already know. But we watched Bumpy Johnson and Hoodlum, which had Vanessa Williams in it. Then we watched Soul Food, which starred Vanessa Williams in it. And now we're watching Set It Off, but Soul Food had Vivica Fox in it, and Set It Off has Vivica Fox in it. So I don't know. I just made that correlation in my head. I thought I was doing something.
No, that's a good point. You know, we probably should keep this going.
That's what I was actually thinking. So now the next movie we watch has to have somebody in this movie in it.
That won't be hard because this was a star-studded cast,
just like all of them.
Right.
First of all, I died that Dr. Dre was in this movie.
Yes, I was like, "Come on, Black Sam, come on, Dr. Dre."
What in the hell? But there were so many other people. You know, you watched the movie Friday. You know, the mom for Friday. How you doing, Pam? Hi. What does she have on? I'll call you later. Okay. She was in it. Then the lady from BAPS, Natalie something.
Natalie DeSalle. Yes, she was in it as well.
She was in it. We got Queen Latifah. We got Jada Pinkett Smith. We got Kimberly Elise. We got Vivica Fox. We got Blair.
Who? Underwood.
Take my Underwood.
That's the Bryce quote. Underwood.
So I was really excited to kind of sort of see like all of the black star power in this movie, Set It Off. So before we go into the movie, I think it's important for us to let's try to do it a little different in our movie reviews. So tell me what you remembered what was your thoughts and feelings of Set It Off?
Okay, yeah. No, that's a good point. We probably should set the tone a little bit for the podcast. Last time we jumped right in. Okay, so Set It Off. It's a 1996 movie with the people you just named, and it's about a bank robbery or a series of bank robberies, right? In Los Angeles, California. And for me, I remember being a child and watching this movie and taking away stuff that I probably didn't even think about this time when I watched it, because now I'm so much like older and more mature, and I'm able to see the entire movie for what it is. Because when I was little, I thought it was like, you know, like a bank robbery show. Like, you know, it's about people go and they're robbing the bank and they all friends, and I hope they all make it out because I'm rooting for them. And now I'm watching it now and I'm still rooting for them, spoiler alert, but also just kind of like, wow, they are really a product of the crap that happened to them, and they react to it, and it puts them in a horrible situation, and it just spirals out of control right in front of these people's eyes. It was kind of sad to watch, honestly. I don't remember thinking it was that sad of a movie when I was younger, but now I was watching this. This is a tragedy. This is really upsetting. What did you think?
I thought the same exact thing. I remember watching it. I remember just being like, oh, Queen Latifah's in it. And yeah, I just remember, I thought it was like a shoot up, bang, bang, bang type of movie. Mm-hmm. Rewatching it, I picked, like, there were themes that I picked up on, which are random, because had I not gone down the line of work that I'd gone down, then I would not, like, have picked up on some of these themes. But yeah, you're right. It's absolutely a product of their environment. And I also feel like it is peer pressure. I never thought of peer pressure when I watched the movie before, but I absolutely, like, in this movie, just like, yeah, like, I just, I felt like this was a good representation of sometimes, like, peer pressure. Bitch, it could cost you your life. And, yeah, mm-hmm. it was extremely sad. But for me, I think it's just so interesting what I remember being sad about, and then actually watching the movie, who I actually felt sad about, and who I'm like, oh my God. But anyway, I'll save that because I feel like it will kind of give away the movie plot, even though we bout to give away the movie plot. And I took very detailed notes. I was telling Chappelle this before we started. I wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm. This is one of your movies.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, I was excited because I kind of sort of strong-armed Chappelle into us watching this. But, okay. And then again, all right. Let's give the main characters, and there's four of them. So we can each give two, and then we have to say which character we feel most like. I will start with, there is TT. She's a single mother. She's very timid, and she's got a young son named Deshaun, and obviously she is a part of this crew. But, you know, she is definitely the shy one, kind of doesn't really speak up for herself, but she's loyal to the crew, and, you know, everybody, like, you know, everybody got her back. Who's yeah. next?
Now you have, next, I guess, would have to be Cleo, cast by Queen Latifah, I guess, at this point. Queen Latifah, Dana Owens, this icon. This is one of her, like, most iconic roles. And this woman is a amazing actress. I want to just be clear. All four of these leading women are amazing actresses in their own right. They go on to do great things. But Queen Latifah will never not be Cleo for me. She is a very strong lesbian woman in this film. She is one of the people who is happy in the hood. She has found her, like, she lives in the projects, and she has no intention of leaving. Her goal is kind of to be hood rich. She wants to live with her girlfriend and have nice things and kind of do the things that you see in the music video. You see these people flaunt their guns and their money and their rims, their cars, and that's really Cleo's whole mentality. I want to do that, and I want to do it forever. And if I gotta, you know, do some things to get money quicker, then I will, so I can get what I want. So yeah, Cleo's next on the list.
Can I be honest for a second? This is, like, really off topic, and I'm, like, debating of, like, whether or not I should share this. But, I'm always honest and open, so I'm going to share this. One thing I do remember about when this movie came out, and I don't remember when it was. It might have been, like, 10 years after it came out. But, one, I'm a Queen Latifah stan. Love Queen Latifah. Love her damn. And I remember there was, like, either Ebony magazine or a Jet magazine where they interviewed her. And, you know, like, they asked her, like, what was one of your most difficult roles? And Queen Latifah's response to it was Cleo. And she said it was just so hard to play a lesbian woman. And I don't know why in that interview, and granted, I have to, like, give the context and of the times. I don't know why I was just really disappointed in Queen Latifah at such a young age, at, like, in my 20s, like, hearing that. And so I know that this role is definitely kind of sort of controversial for Queen Latifah, because Queen Latifah has never really come out. She kind of sort of lives a private life, and it is kind of just more suspected that Queen Latifah might be a part of my family. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever she is, she's amazing. She's done a million things. But in that moment, like, me as a young queer person would have just loved, like, to just, I don't know. But I whatever I think of that movie, I always think of that interview, and I always think of her response. And I know this might be random and off topic, but I just wanted to share that. I'm just curious to know what anyone, like, is feelings towards that is. And I'm not saying that Queen Latifah has to come out or anything like of that nature, because it's your own right. But I also feel like sometimes when you are a role model, when you are, like, you are the Queen Latifah, I do feel like you do somewhat, I don't know. I get into this debate with my friends a lot, and I know this has nothing to do with Set It Off, but I just wanted to be transparent in my feelings about that. Not that I take away anything from the queen, because I love worship down Queen Latifah, but I just feel like sometimes as an ambassador and, you know, I don't know, but...
No, Bryce, no, that's a good point. You shouldn't feel bad about wanting to say that. I think that is great to point that out too, because in 2021, of course you want these role models to be, you know, like proud of themselves and to pave the way for other people who might be struggling with, you know, coming out and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I can imagine at a young age, if you're looking at Queen Latifah, like, well, you're supposed to be one of the role models. Like, why aren't you so, you know, why is this so hard for you? But I did find an interview quote for Queen Latifah from Essence magazine. So you were pretty close for what I remember. But the quote says, when I got the role of amateur bank robber Cleo Sims and Set It Off, I sat down with my younger siblings and told them, listen, I'm playing a gay character, Latifah said about the F. Gary Gary directed film. Your classmates might tease you or say negative things about you, but I'm doing it because I believe I can bring positive attention to the gay African-American community, and I believe that I can do a great job as an actor, she continued. They understood, and when those things inevitably happened in school, they were okay with it. And this was an interview she did in 2017, I believe. So I think what it is, a lot of that is just like, in retrospect, looking back at Queen Latifah as an actress, this was kind of early in her acting career. You know, Queen Latifah was known, as you know, Rice, you know, in hip-hop, you know, very quickly. Right. And so this was very early in her acting career, and there weren't a lot of like out actresses and actors at the time. And so this was a big deal. And Queen Latifah's role as Cleo, she's a very over the top character. Like she is like very someone who demands screen time and presence. Like when Cleo's on screen, you're looking. And so it's very much like a character that if that is your sibling in 1996, yeah, I could probably see that being something that you'd have to go to school and deal with, you know, like someone say, oh, yo, sister is, you know, this big, strong woman and, you know, lesbian woman in the 90s, you know? And so there probably was some teasing and stuff involved with that. So I could see why Queen Latifah would maybe play that a little close to the vest. And then, like you said, she's not officially out about anything, but yeah, it's a different time and Queen Latifah has spoken on it. And I do understand. And I hope that, you know, like, now moving forward, that people are able to, you know, approach roles like this with a little bit more pride and to be able to accept that part of themselves, if that's a part of themselves, you know?
No, for sure. And I feel like, and this is like so random, I don't even know how we got down this road, but first of all, come on with you with the fact checking, with the essence. But, you know, Queen Latifah has paved the way. Like, if there was no Queen Latifah, there would be no young MAs. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. like, absolutely. I just know... For me, personally, as a queer person, like, her deflecting from the fact of, like, I don't know. It was just weird for me in that sense. And I just felt like, you know, for me, the platform that I stand on is like, you know, I scream to the top of my lungs. But I do understand that that is me. And everyone has to go on their own personal journeys. And I completely and 100% respect that. But at the same time, I do feel like when you are in the life and you are in the community and you have reached such statures, I do feel like, and especially you're a person of color, I do feel like, I don't know. But again, I do understand it. It was the 90s, the early 2000s. That would have been like career suicide. So, and I feel like over the years... Queen Latifah has not really like talked about her sexuality, but she has a partner. Like, you know, we know what she looked like. So I feel like she, and even like the rapper DaBrat just recently has come out and has a girlfriend. So I mean, and Queen Latifah and DaBrat are like of the same kind of sort of era. So yeah, ouch. Okay.
Yeah, you good, Bryce? Don't worry. I think people look. The Purple Pants Posse is listening to the podcast for your point of view. I know they like Set It Off, but they come here for you. So this is good. I like this content. Bryce, I do have to ask, though. Is Cleo the role you think of when you hear Queen Latifah's name?
Okay. So, yes and no. Okay. So, obviously, yes. But for me, it's Bring It Down the House. And
yes!
Don't judge me on this one. But it's Last Holiday. Okay?
I knew you were going to say Last Holiday. I knew you were going to say Last
Holiday. No, Last Holiday do something for me. I don't know. But I love Queen Latifah always puts on family-friendly movies. It's always a movie that you can watch for, like, with the whole family. So, yes, but Queen, like, they're, like, Cleo. Set It Off is Queen Latifah, period. So the next character after we go off this random monologue is Frankie. And she is a hardworking sister. She's been working at the bank for 2 years. You know, she is from an urban development, like all of the ladies are from.
A housing project, if you will.
You know. And, yeah, so she's just a round-the-way girl. And I'll let you introduce the next character.
She a round-the-way girl, bro?
Not in that context, okay?
I want a girl with extensions in her hair. Bamboo earrings and these two pair. Yes!
Hold on, wait. I got to take my hoodie off. I'm getting hot, okay?
Now I got to take my hoodie off. Now you get that LL Cool J make you hot. All right. So last but not least, on the cast of four, you have... Lita Stoney Newsom, played by Jada Pinkett Smith, as we know her, formerly Jada Pinkett. And okay. I think Jada is technically our main character because we get into more of Jada's personal life than we do for any of these other characters, but it's definitely a strong cast of the four leading ladies. Jada Pinkett's character is from the projects as well. And she works with TT and Cleo for a man named Luther, and she has a cleaning service. But Luther has a cleaning service and they all work for him. But Stoney's goal is to help her brother make it out of the hood. This is a pattern in a lot of 90s films where it's like we take you to the ghetto and we show you like what people are struggling with and like the drugs and the gang stuff and all the problems that we know that are associated with, you know, low income and high crime areas and stuff like that. And then we show them a beacon of light who's trying to make it out. You know, every story needs a Ricky, you know, in the 90s. And this time it is Stoney's little brother. And Stoney is like, her goal is to make sure that her brother is able to get out of the projects and go to UCLA. And several times throughout the film, when she's talking to her brother, she says, "We got into UCLA. We need to go off to college because getting one person in your family to college is enough to change your whole family's life. Like all it takes is to get my little brother. That's the one who's going to make it." This storyline really touched me now, like as an adult, you know.
I don't remember watching this movie back then and like remembering the plot twist about the brother. Like that was astonishing for me. And so one thing before we get into the meat and potatoes of this. So yes, Jada Pinkett at this time is probably the more, like she's the biggest star of them all. But
is she? Are we going to put her over Queen?
Well, at this time in 1996, movie-wise, because if you watch the credits, it definitely goes Jada Pinkett, Queen Latifah, and Vivica A. Fox, and they don't even give...
They don't mention Kimberly.
They do Kimberly dirty. Dang. But so Stoney is for sure the main character, but I just want to put this point in. That is Vivica's world. And I think as a young queer person watching this at like 13 years old, I think I was hyper focused on Cleo and like Cleo's girlfriend Ursula, that I really think that Frankie's character kind of like passed me by. Because for me, watching this like movie, bitch, it might be like it might be around Stoney, but it's everything to do with Frankie. And I also just took notes. There were three times in this movie when they set it off. Possibly four, but really three times in this movie that they set it off. So when we come to in that story, I'ma just make sure I pointed out that we set it off. So y'all know the characters. Let me just start the breakdown and feel free to, you know, like if somebody said, "Oh, I really love the Bryce and Chappelle movie reviews. Chappelle really reigns Bryce and good." Ooh, excuse me. It's like,
yes. Sometimes you need to be reined in. So, Bryce, are you telling me that of the four leading ladies, you relate the most to Vivica Fox? Or are you just saying Vivica Fox steals the show? Because Vivica Fox does steal the show. Make no mistake.
I'm just saying. I might not have been feeling...
You do give me strong TT vibes.
And you TT very much so give vibes. Me I'm very Underwood. Much so Cleo.
I'm Underwood. Underwood.
You're definitely Cleo.
Underwood.
I am for sure Frankie. Absolutely. So the movie takes place. Frankie, you could tell she at the bank. She kikiing with her coworkers. Oh, girl, you taking off next week? I cover your days. She, boom, getting the people their money. And out the corner of her eye, she sees Darnell. Who's Darnell? Somebody from around the way. And she know that he ain't up to no good. So my opinion, Vivica Fox keeps it so cute. She's like, hey, Darnell, I didn't even know you had a bank account. What you
like, okay. What brings you here to the... Right. Like, oh, my God, I ain't never seen you in here.
I've never seen you out of the housing development. What's going on? And so at this moment, you know, they start robbing the bank. And Frankie is, she don't know what to do. She knows the procedure. But she, this is another thing that I felt like I got from this. She knows this is going to cost her job. And I feel like when she's talking to Darnell, like, what are you doing here? Like, it is really like her saying, like, I've never seen you out of the hood. What are you doing here? It's really saying to Darnell, bitch, don't fucking do
like,
it today.
Why you don't bring that in here. I've been having a long week. I'm at work. I just got a promotion.
2 years.
I'm just trying to make it out of here without getting fined, okay? I'm just trying to get my paycheck, and you in here playing in my face with this gun. What are you doing?
So they rob, and they actually kill someone in front of Vivica, and she is shaken, and she is, like, startled. Yep. So, after we see all of this, right, we then meet the two detectives who are going to be in our lives for the rest of the movie, which is Detective Strobe and Detective Waller. And they are basically, you know, Frankie has just, one, she has been the victim of a robbery. Two, she's been the victim of trauma, somebody getting killed in front of her. And, you know, three, she's a witness. But yet, the way that we see these detectives treating her is as if she's a suspect.
Oh, yeah.
And
they
instantly
treat her like a suspect. I mean, they pull her to the side. First of all, the main detective is Dr. Cox from Scrubs, for all of y'all who have not seen Set It Off recently, John C. McGinley. And he's great. He's a great actor. And it's so believable that he has no intention of checking on Vivica Fox's character, Frankie. She is covered in the blood of a woman who just got shot in front of her. And they are literally interrogating her like, what did you have to do with this crime? You knew this man. What did you do? Why did you do this? What's the procedure when you're being robbed? And it's a very startling moment because you see the lack of care sometimes that the police officers will take with people, especially people of color, but with people dealing with trauma. Like, at some point, you have to put police work to the side and say, these are humans, and they are struggling in this moment, and they do not treat Vivica like a human, and she lets them know.
Right. And essentially, she gets fired. The president of the bank, whatever, the owner of the bank, he says, it's just unsettling with us that you know the dependent. She's like, I can't control who I know.
Right. Right. Bryce coming here on some foolishness. I can't just be like, I will ignore Bryce. I don't know him. I ain't never seen him before. Sorry for that, man. But if y'all know I know him and he didn't start shooting people, what am I to do?
Right. I counted $365 by hand for you.
Okay.
Vivica had some lines in that bank. And then after she accepted that she got fired, the black detective, Detective Waller, she was like drinking water. Vivica walked out and said, you couldn't even ask me if I was thirsty, sister. Oh.
Woo. Yeah.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Y'all probably know where I stand on the cops, but abolish it. Anyway, I think that in that moment, Vivica is looking at this black woman like, if nobody else should be advocating me for me, it should be you. And this woman chose to be a cop first. And not a good cop either. I won't say, like, I know, you know, there's a popular saying out here, all cops are bad, blah, blah. But I think you have an opportunity as a cop to be a good cop. And this cop did not. And Vivica let her know and then walked out still covered in blood.
Still covered in blood, which we pick up at Stevie's 70th graduation party in the hood.
No, not his 70th graduation
party. No, I said 70s themed graduation party. 70s
themed graduation party. They out there with their afros and stuff on. He's not 70 years old.
Okay. Y'all know what I meant. So Stevie's, I want to say it like Justin. Stevie. His
70s themed graduation party. Stevie is Stevie. Now you got me saying Stevie is Stoney's little brother, Jada Pinkett's little brother in this movie. Yes. And he's graduating from high school and they are so excited that he's about to go off to college because he's going to be the one who made it. So they threw him a party and it's themed, you know, it's a 70s themed party. So there's some afros and bell bottoms there, yes. I guess.
And we love it. They're having a great time. But Stevie is looking kind of like disheveled at one moment. So he goes into the room and Stoney, Jada Pickett follows him. And one, we should learn that Stevie and Jada Pickett's parents died 4 years ago in a car crash. So Stevie is like the big sister, big brother. So she has, it's a lot more to her brother than just him graduating from college, like graduating from high school. It's like she is, you know.
She raised him.
She raised him. And, yeah, you know, she's doing it for her parents. And so Stevie at this time says, like, I'm not going to be able to go. I didn't get the scholarship. And Jada's like, what do you mean? We told him the only way that we can apply is if we got the scholarship. And so he's like, I didn't get the scholarship. And so Stoney is like, well, it don't matter. You're going. I'll figure out a way to how to get you the money to go to school. And so we kind of sort of like, you know, leave it at that. Then is where we kind of pick up at like their cleaning business. And that's where we kind of, we see TT, we see Cleo, we see Stoney, and they like, well, child, we're going to have to get Frankie a job here. But, you know, we just get to see the dynamic of their cleaning business. And I think it's also interesting because Luther, who is a scumbag, he always refers to the ladies. He'll go like, see you guys later, ladies and gentlemen, which I just thought that was like an interesting tone for him, because obviously he does not like Cleo, and it's meant to be like, you know, to be very disrespectful to Cleo. I don't think I picked up on that at the time, but I'm like, oh, Luther is trying it.
Oh yeah, so Luther is the owner of the cleaning business, and he's hired these three women, and was looking to hire Frankie very soon because she's unemployed. And Luther is he's definitely like using Cleo's masculine presentation, you know, as a like as a way to make fun of her, and that was a very common thing in the 90s for sure. Like he calling him like her gentleman and all kinds of stuff like that, knowing that she's a woman, but just like ribbing her. And to be honest, Cleo is giving it right back. They are going tit for tat almost throughout the entire movie. But Luther is very much a scumbag. We don't like Luther.
Right. So, after,
we almost skipped over, you know, your person, TT. So, TT, she works there as well, but TT's thing is she needs to get paid under the table because she can't afford her bills already. So, Luther has been, like, you know, paying her as, like, normal people get paid, and, you know, taxes are being taken out. And TT's like, no, I can't do that because I cannot afford daycare for my child. So, at this point, she's like, I might have to start bringing my child to work with me. And we know that that's common. Like, people have been bringing their kids to work for years and years and years just because daycare is hella expensive. It's even worse now.
Especially when you're a single mother trying to make it work. So they work the night shift. So after they get off, they generally like parlay in the, I want to say the parking lot of the housing complex. That seems to be a, you know, common theme. They all hanging out there. And one of the guys from around the neighborhood drives by, and Cleo has like an old dirty car. And they like, yo, Cleo, what you doing with that car? And Cleo like, leave my car alone. And this is the time that we first get the idea of robbing a bank. And like, they're like, Darnell was stupid. Damn, we could rob a bank. And at that time, no, the only person that's with it is Cleo. Everyone else is like, Cleo, girl, you stupid. And then there is this guy named Nate Andrews. He works at a car dealership. And, you know, TT is like, ooh, look, Stoney, did he say you could work at the car dealership for him? And
Stoney knows.
Yeah.
Stoney knows Nate. Like, so we said we don't like Luther, but we hate Nate too. Nate is a scummy car salesman, which is kind of a stereotype for car salesmen. No offense to any car salesmen out there, but you know, they don't get the best rap. And Nate is saying like, yeah, I'd hire Stoney, but she's gonna have to pay me in like sexual favors.
Oh,
and he's not very upfront about it, but it's like overt, like in the way he interacts with her. So Stoney is like, look, I need a job. Because working for Luther, I'm cleaning these businesses, not paying like, you know, being a car salesman would pay. But I don't want to, you know, do no sexual favors for you, Nate. Like, I'm not down with that. Nate kind of raggedy. And he's also leveraging his power over her. But she needs the money to get her brother into UCLA. She's like, look, what do I got to do to get this money up front? You know, because my brother got a deadline and UCLA, they're not giving him a scholarship. So I got to do what I got to do. She was in a bind, Nate.
Right. And she loved her brother enough that she did what, unfortunately, a lot of women and a lot of mothers, a lot of people do in that situation, where sometimes they have to turn to sex workers. Sometimes they have to, like, you know, they got to do what they got to do. And Stoney really stepped up for her brother and, you know, was able to do what she needed to do to get a check from slimy Luther.
Nate,
sorry.
Too many slimy dudes in there.
Right. So, where are we at?
After this, right? So after she has, you know, she has this horrible, the scene is very triggering, but she has this moment with Nate and she does what she has to do to get the money. And afterwards, you know, we kind of show the girls again, kind of bonding on the roof of the housing, complex and just talking and reminiscing and also thinking about, you know, this is when Frankie really starts to think about robbing a bank as well. So at first it was just Cleo kind of just throwing it out as a joke,
right?
But then Frankie's, you know, she's recently been wronged by the bank and the police, so she's actually kind of down for it as well. She's also unemployed. I think the problem with this group is that I noticed very quickly that there's probably like three alphas in this group, like three alpha females in this group. And like Frankie is very much like, she has been wronged. She wants revenge. She wants money. She wants to make these people pay for what they did to her. Cleo, also very strong and strong-willed in her, like, thinking of, like, I need to get what I want from the people. I can do this. I can have the nice things. I can have the fancy cars. And then you have Stoney, who also is very much an alpha woman. And she is like, no, This doesn't make any sense. Right. You're crazy. We can't rob a bank. That's silly. Like, stop playing. And so they kind of talks them down. But you could tell the peer pressure is building a little bit to do it.
Absolutely. And it's conveniently after Frankie's first night of working, cleaning, and she's just like, it's really not cutting it. So after that rooftop, so now this is the second time we done talked about robbing a bank, and now we got Cleo and Frankie on it. So after they, you know, get done doing whatever they do on the rooftop, Jada go home and tell her brother, like, yes, look at this check, boy. We going there. Ain't nothing stopping us. And I just love it because it's like, you can't stop the hustle of a black woman. If she puts her mind to something, she gonna get it done. And it's in that moment that her brother, Stevie, tells her, I'm not going to UCLA. It's not because I didn't get the scholarship. I'm not going because I did not get in.
He says, maybe college is not for me. And I hate when people say that, because college is not for everyone. But I don't like for people to write themselves off not even knowing, because like, he had just graduated from high school. He doesn't know. He hasn't tried. And now, especially in 2021, there are so many different avenues to an education that you don't have to just write yourself off because you're tired of going to school. You know, like, there are ways to make things work for you if you like deal with your skills. He sounded like he was thinking about getting a scholarship, so I know he's good at something. And maybe UCLA isn't the school for him, you know, but it's California. There are other schools that would accept him. It just seemed like he was giving up for me, like, before he had even given it a shot.
Well, and here's why I'm gonna come and play devil's advocate. I used to be like you, like, oh, I hate when people say, like, oh, college isn't for me. But sometimes I think that college is not for some people. And I feel like we, as in black communities, like, you know, he, like, for instance, Stevie might have been doing good in school, might have been like, you know, and here is this pressure from Stoney that you got to go to school. You got to, like, if that's not where his heart's at, if that, like, you know, we never really knew what else he wanted to do. Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like that we just always put on us, oh, you got to go to school. You got to go to this. Well, like, no, I actually might not be good at school. And if I don't go to school, maybe I can get a job at McDonald's. Maybe I can work at McDonald's for 7 years and then become the general manager in 6 years and then be making $45,000 when my friends get out of school and they're in $56,000 worth of debt. I'm not in debt. So I just, like, you know, I didn't have that approach watching it back then. I'm like, oh, he's stupid. He playing around. But, you know, actually, I was really being a youth advocate for him and saying, like, you know, maybe. And what did he also said to Stoney, I can get a job and help pay bills around here, wanting to take the pressure off of Jada. But I get it. You want to see more for your little brothers. You want to see more. But I thought his intentions were admirable. Now,
well, I think the reason why, like, and I'm with you. I know college is not for everyone. I just don't like people to write it off without even, like, giving it a fair shot, or even alternative avenues, whether it's just a certificate or something like that. Like, because nowadays, even if you don't go to college, you still gonna have to get trained by something. And even back then, certifications take you a long way. I think the reason why it was so important for Stoney is not only because they lost their parents, but she knows that if he stays here, look at the environment they're in, right? Like, the people that they live next door to basically just robbed a bank that their homegirl worked at, you know? And so,
and she got fired for knowing.
Right, and she got fired, and now they are, I mean, no offense to Stoney, but, you know, she is struggling to make ends meet. And she's like, I don't want that for you. I want you to at least go out and try if you have the potential. And so I think for me and for her, she was just kind of seeing it as like, you're not even giving it a shot. Like, you're giving it up before. Like, you don't know your actual potential because you've already made your mind up that something's not for you. And so that's why it was disappointing to me. But I agree with you 100%. A 4-year college degree is not for everyone.
Right. No. And some of Stevie's friends around the neighborhood, Stoney does not like. In particular, Lorenz. Lorenz was also with Darnell when he robbed a bank. Lorenz had told Stevie that, I didn't come to your party because I know your sister didn't like me, but I got you some champagne. Come through to the crib and pick it up. So Stevie goes around to Lorenz's house to, like, hang out. You know, he got him this bottle of champagne. Also, when Lorenz robbed the bank that Frankie got fired at, He had an AP for Acorn Projects on the back of his head. So when Stevie got to his apartment, he was like, "Ooh, I like that. That's fresh." And so he told his girlfriend to hook him up. So, you know, hooks him up, and then he's leaving. He just literally went to just see his friend. So as he's, like, when he opens the door, we see police, like, running. And so, obviously, they're looking for Lorenz because he just robbed a bank. So here is Stevie, you know, leaving out. And this was really triggering for me in the sense that they are telling Stevie to get down, get down, get down, get down. He immediately gets down. He has this bottle of champagne on him, but he can't, like, lay down on a bottle of champagne. So he tries to tell them, "I have a bottle of champagne." And what do? They shot him. Mm-hmm. And this gave me Trayvon Martin. This gave me Michael Brown. This gave me George Floyd. I really got upset watching this because, I mean, I knew it was coming, but in 1996, they were showing us shit that we are still dealing with in 2020 and 2017 and 2018. It's like, here is this black man. You telling him to get down, he's getting down.
Yeah.
And I knew of this movie, there were certain parts that I was like going to get touchy on. But honestly, like, going back and watching this, one, I forgot that he died. And two, I forgot that he died in this manner. And it really bothered the out of me because, it just bothered me.
No, this is a good point to stop down on. Like I was saying earlier, that the police, historically, but especially in this film, are not handling people with care. There's a level of these people are still humans, whether they are suspect for a crime or not, and that they should be treated as such. This person was only a suspect because he had the same haircut and that he lived in the same neighborhood as a guy who was there, like, at this man's, like, area. But here's the thing. Had they taken a beat and just waited, you know, they're out there in armor. They have surrounded this guy. There's not much he's going to be able to do from the ground anyway. Had they taken a moment and not opened fire, they would have seen that, hey, he's not a threat to anyone. But, of course, police work came first. And cops will say, "I fear for my life."
I'm here for your side. But this is why it bothers me so much. And, like, please do what the listeners say and rail me in. Because somebody could go into a grocery store and light it up.
Yeah.
Okay? But they can apprehend him and he's alive and he's fine. Somebody could go light up a church.
Mm-hmm.
They can apprehend him. And he, like, it's just like, for me, I don't know why I'm getting so mad, because it's like this movie was 25 years ago, and the fact that it is, like, legitimately the same shit is bizarre to me. I don't understand it. And I was not expecting the movie to kind of, like, get me in this, like, you know, bag. I was really just like, oh, I'm in a kiki kaka. But it's just like, I say this. It's called systematic racism for a reason, okay? Mm-hmm. It's systematic. It's like, there's just no way that 25 years ago that they could have predicted a Michael Brown, a George. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, mind-boggling to me. And then it's like, we have these people that are, like, these mass shooters, which are 9 times out of 10, always people that are not of color, and they're always able to apprehend them. They always able to treat them with, it's just like, you know, just like the insurrectioners that then stormed the Capitol. Then they let them walk out the Capitol and go home.
Yeah.
And now the FBI is asking us to do their job and help find them. But we just had Stoney have sex with Lester's ass to get her brother a check for UCLA. And all he's doing is picking up champagne. Like,
yeah, it's infuriating. And I think another interesting thing, though, is, Bryce, this, for me, this is the inciting incident of the whole film.
Yes.
So even when I was little, I never forgot this. But it became so commonplace for films like this to have like, oh, the police accidentally shot somebody because they didn't have their hands up, or they didn't get down fast enough, or they thought they had a gun, and they thought that, and it was this and it was that. So that's why you forgot that this was such a big deal, because it's everywhere. It's everywhere in the media around that time. It's just, you know, had you not been there, had you been in it, like, had you not been in a bad neighborhood, had you not gotten
there,
like, had you not been hanging out with these people, had you gotten on the ground, had you not raised your hand, it's always an excuse what you should have done to keep yourself alive, when it should really be, why did you feel the need to shoot me? Why? Was there not anything else you could have done to me in that moment that would not have murdered me to where I cannot stand trial or at least defend myself? And we see it so much. And so I think that's probably why it wasn't that big of a deal for you in the moment, because you were younger. And it was also just one of those things that we were being programmed to believe. In the 90s, they were telling us that black people were super predators and that, you know, three strikes rule and all these other things. And we see that you could easily be a victim of circumstance when it comes to the cops. And what we also see is that those same cops that murdered Stoney's brother, there were no consequences for those cops.
Oh,
they continued to be cops the next day. And that's what's infuriating. And that's why it's easy to block that stuff out. But now in 2021, to see it every day again and again and again, and to be an adult and looking at it through an adult lens, you're like, yeah, a lot of stuff still ain't changed. And it's still not right.
Right.
So I agree with you. It's crazy. And yeah, it's just, you know where I stand. Abolish the police. That's where I am. But anyway, we don't want to get into my political views. I did notice, though, we can't overlook Lorenz, the guy, you know, the guy who actually robbed the bank, who they're mistaking Stoney's brother for.
He lit it up, though.
Look, that's, first of all, that's Junior from the Players Club.
Yes.
He will always be Junior from the Players Club. He was in Menace to Society. He was in Tales from the Hood. He was in Set It Off. He will always be Junior from the Players Club. And him and his sister, who's played by Natalie Dassel, the late Natalie Dassel, they are the ones who end up getting apprehended by the police. They go into a shootout, and I think they kill him too.
They do.
So,
but
yeah.
Take a couple out, though.
He does, but they ended up taking him out, too. And so that's where we leave the inciting incident. Because for me, the whole beginning of this movie is just giving us the reason why these four women feel like they have to do this. And this is the fourth reason, right? Like, so, oh, the third reason. The first reason is Frankie kind of wants revenge, and she's broke as well. Cleo is broke, and she wants nice things, and she looks at this as a means to an end. And now you have Stoney, who was probably the most reluctant of the four initially to do this. She is now put in a situation where she could possibly want revenge, but she also is broke as well. And so it's just like showing that, like I said earlier, these people are a product of all the things that are happening to them, and they're actually kind of just reacting to the thing around them.
They are. And the last person that is still holding on is TT. She still doesn't want to do it, but like I said, TT's very passive. So at this moment, they're still going to move forward with, like, even though TT doesn't want to do it. So Frankie is like, you know, she is teaching them how to rob a bank and, you know, what they need to do. And so they start casing a bank. And this is where, you know, TT and Stoney go into the bank, and they're just like casing it, seeing, get the lay of the land. And that is where she meets Keith
Underwood,
who is Blair Underwood. And he is mesmerized by Jada Pickett Smith, and he
is
really trying to court her, and, you know, really wants to, like, you know, shoot his shot, get at her. And, you know, she's just like, sure, like, you know. So it's interesting. But
Well, the reason why, you know, is TT is involved, even though she doesn't really want to be, is because, you know, we talked about this already. TT is poor as well, but she ends up taking her kid, Deshaun.
Yeah, this happened after they cased the bank, though. So I didn't know that, but yes.
Oh, no, yeah. This is what gets her into the mix as well, though. You know, she takes Deshaun to work with her, and then, you know, she's forced to, like, Deshaun gets sick. He gets into they're in the cleaning service, so he gets sick, and the CPS comes and takes the kid. So at that point, TT is all in on casing the bank.
But let me listen. I have a lot to say about this, because I was a child welfare worker for like almost a decade of my life. And I just think it's also very interesting to see how it is that they treat Titi in this situation. So absolutely, the child comes in for poisoning. They bring him to the hospital. Is it normal that the that you call Child Protective Services at a poisoning, like if it's an accidental poisoning? So I thought that was weird. Anyway, so immediately we meet Miss Wells, who's a black woman, and she is very kind of like demeaning to Titi, and she's basically telling her like, well, we have to take custody. Well, in my line of work, like, that's a lot. Like, you know, custody, maybe we open a case. Maybe we kind of sort of, like, figure things out and, like, see what's going on. But, immediately they open up a case against Titi. And Titi's like, well, I can't afford child care. And so, like, Ms. Wells essentially says to Titi, if you want your son back, you need to prove to the court that you can afford child care. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, that's not what we do. Like, if anything, I mean, but mind you, in the 90s, that's how, like, I can't tell you, like, that's how they did it. Like, you know, there are so many people that lost their children because of, like, they were smoking marijuana or something mm-hmm. that was just so minimum. And I feel like our job as social workers, we are supposed to help alleviate the problems. So if we see this woman can barely make ends meet, like, we should not be taking custody. We should be providing her with daycare.
Yeah.
And so I actually just recently watched Allen versus Pharaoh on HBO Max, and it's about
you tweeting about it.
Mm-hmm. Woody Allen, and it is very interesting because Woody Allen had a lot of money, and he essentially like tried to pay off a lot of different people, and there was a social worker in Connecticut who got assigned the case, and he was a black male, and he was stonewalled at every which way of this case. Because it was such a big media attention that they didn't really want to do all of this stuff. And so his supervisor basically was like, I quit the agency after that. She was like, because after I saw how they treated Alan and how they expect me as a black woman to then essentially treat other black women that live in these like neighborhoods, it's ridiculous. And so I just thought that was just such a parallel of to like how they see social work. And a lot of the times me as a child welfare social worker, when I would go into the homes for issues or reports and I would talk to people, like they would be like, oh, they would be so reluctant to work with us because we were known as the children snatchers. Like that's the reputation. Mm-hmm. And clearly in this movie, we see why. Like there's no investigation. They're basically just saying we're retaining custody. And so for me as a social worker, I always try to work to like, no, baby, listen, it's more paperwork for us to take your kids than it is for them to keep them in the house. I want to keep your child, which like, you know what I mean? So for me, this whole TT storyline, I was all in because I didn't have that experience back then. So I was just like, oh, this is like so good. And how they handled this, I just thought was just so poorly and disrespectful. But this is the last thing that TT needs because now she needs the money to essentially get her son. So now TT's in. So now we got all four girls in. They ready to set it off.
Yes, they are. They go to Dr. Dre, who is Black Sam, and they say, hey, we need guns. They're going to the gun range. They're hyping each other up because they're about to do this. That Black Sam does ask, you know, like, hey, Cleo, hook me up with Frankie. Cleo shoots it down. And then they go off on their first robbery, right? So Cleo's thing at the robberies is always she needs to go get the getaway car. And every time she gets the getaway car, she goes through the CDs in the car. She breaks into the car. Takes out all the CDs that she don't like, throws them out on the street, and then she plays her own music. I think at one point she played Pistol Grip Pump. That's my song. Oh, I was like, okay, what are we doing Pistol Grip Pump? We doing that here? And so they head to the first bank. When they get there, though, back to TT. TT is not feeling the bank robbery. Like, I mean, it looks like Stoney's having second thoughts, too, because
yeah,
she Stoney's seems to be
with her. She's like, yeah, we shouldn't do it. We shouldn't do it.
But
this brings me to my first set it off point. Okay?
Yeah.
Because Frankie set it off.
Yeah. Frankie is not about waiting on them to like, okay, look, I don't have time to keep teetering around with this. We going in. She goes in, pulls the gun. And at that point, they all in, except TT. TT takes off running. When I was little, I remember thinking like, dang, TT, you suck. Oh, my God. Get back in there. Now I'm like, I don't blame you.
No, I'm with you. I'm on the bus.
TT, let's go. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? But the bank robbery goes well. And they go back to their hideout, which I think is like Cleo's like car shop.
Yes, and this is another thing. Like, does Cleo live in a garage?
I think she lives in a garage.
Or a firehouse. I'm so confused.
Yeah, it looks like she lives, or at least that's a like little abandoned getaway or whatever. You know, she probably does live there. She probably does live there. Yeah, so they go back there and they count their money, and they are very excited that they have now robbed a bank for a whopping $12,000. I was like, y'all ain't do nothing.
Okay, and you got to split it between the three of y'all. Another thing that I thought was so interesting that, like, it comes on the news that the bank mm-hmm. was robbed, and they say the bank was robbed for $90,000.
Yeah.
Like, I was well.
Don't sound like it. Yeah.
Sounds like the bank's little insurance scheme going on. And so, but again, let's also just get back to the point that their whole point of robbing the bank was to get enough money, and they wanted to get out the hood. And yeah. I think that that's just important to remember, because when they got this $12,000, they had to split it between the three of them. And at first, Frankie was not about to get no money to TT, because one, after they already got to Cleo's hideout / fire department / auto shop.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, you know, TT come in there. They like, where was you? And she like, I got the bus home.
TT said, look, y'all was playing games. Right. Y'all like guns and stuff. Like, I don't even know y'all like that. She caught the bus. Frankie was not about it. She was not about sharing it. But I think Frankie, it took a second, but Frankie ended up softening a little bit and saying, she's like, hey, TT, you didn't do nothing, but we are in this to get your kid out of, you know, CPS custody, so I have to give you the money. But for a second, Frankie was not about that life.
Yeah, no, not at all. And I actually wasn't.
When I was little, I was like, she don't deserve
that. Yes, I was like, don't get her that money.
She didn't do
that. I was with Frankie.
Bryce, I need that money.
I need that money.
Yes. She made a point. Look, I get it. We all supposed to be friends, right? But you got $12,000, and I need to get my kid out of daycare, and we all could have been out of CPS custody. So, I mean, if we're really friends, hook me up. Like, right. I know I didn't rob the bank with y'all, but I'm not snitching either, so hand me my $3,000 so I can get my kid back. So I don't blame TT.
Detective Strobe and Detective Waller, are they still on the case? They're pulling up the photos of the girls, and they instantly kind of sort of like, they already thought Frankie was in on it. So it's like, they already like, okay, it's Frankie. And then when they killed Stevie and they met Stoney and Cleo, they left an impression on them. And so they are actually, you know, they're looking at the images, and he kind of sort of puts it together, Detective Strobe. And he goes to his police captain. He's like, listen, I think it is the boy that we killed, his sister. And his lieutenant is like, are you crazy? We're still getting bad press about that. So he tells him to back off.
Yeah.
Does he?
I mean, no, of course he doesn't, right? Like, this man, super saver cop, he wants to come out here and do everything, like, like, he has to be the good guy in this. He has to be the one to take down these bank robbers, even though you've done enough to ruin these people's lives. You've already, like, you're the reason, part of the reason why Vivica Fox probably got fired, Frankie, because you didn't treat her like a witness. You treated her like a criminal.
Why are you not investigating her at the police station? Why are you investigating her in front of her boss like that? Like, that's weird to me. But anyway.
Yeah. So she gets fired, then you go and kill her friend's brother, and now you're like, oh no, but I'm really, really close. I got a lead. And it's like, okay, but look, at what cost? You are doing so much to catch these people after you've already ruined their lives. And I'm not to say that, like, you should not do the right thing, and if you see some wrong thing, don't say it, blah, blah, blah. What I'm saying is, you are going outside the limits of your job.
Right.
And you are making life hard for these people. Now, when you do the investigation fairly and stuff like
and
that, and you catch the criminal,
them,
right? Then cool. But your
not
boss
on
tells
the punch.
you, Yeah, your boss tells you, let it go, and you like, nah, I'm RoboCop. I'm finna go out here and catch the villains. And so he pursues it. I do think this does fall on Frankie's head a little bit, though, because Frankie, you were just involved in a bank robbery. You had to know that your name was going to come back up if a bunch of women started robbing banks. Like, you had to know this. They basically told you were a suspect the first time. So I wouldn't have jumped right back in it.
The
oh, my gosh.
Gang.
These wigs. These women were wigged up.
Them
Regine wigs.
No. We will not have any Regine. Listen, I'm a gay man, okay? I live through Regine. We is not doing that, okay? But when I do look back at, like, Living Single now, I'm like, oh, girl, she looked a mess.
That's a different podcast. Okay.
But back in the day, you can't tell me Regine was not the ish, okay? But period. But it is so weird how, like, in 1999, I was like, oh, my God, Regine is amazing. But then, like, I look at her now, and I'm like, girl, what? Like, it's
Bryce,
really
come
Maxine
back.
Shaw
Bryce,
attorney
come
law.
Back.
Okay, sorry.
Come back.
Sorry. Sorry. That's Live a Single. That's Live a Single.
Different podcast.
Okay. But.
So Dr. Cox, aka the Detective Strobe, is on the case, right?
He on the case.
Yeah,
and Cleo is out here cutting up, doing what Chappelle would do. Okay, he just robbed a bank for $12,000, got four, and now he didn't quit his job and buying his girlfriend Ursula panties and just smoking marijuana all day. Not that he smokes marijuana, but just smoking marijuana all day. And, like, you know, Frankie, myself, and Stoney gotta go to Chappelle and be like, bitch, what are you doing?
Right. We only gave you $3,000.
No.
And you got Audemars and rims, all kinds of, like, what you was making,
like,
this money stretch. Like, yeah. But when I will admit, when I was younger, I thought Ursula was, I thought that was Adina Howard when I was younger. You couldn't tell me it wasn't. But I also was in love with this woman. I was like, Cleo, she did what needed to be done with this one. Because, yeah, I would be showering her with gifts at this point.
I secretly hated Ursula.
What?
I did.
Why?
Because Vivica Fox didn't like her. What's up with her? She don't speak.
She don't talk. She don't speak.
Hated her. And all of my brothers liked her. They were like, ooh.
I'm saying. Ursula was, man.
I was like,
man.
Ew.
I thought that was Adina Howard. You know, Freak Like Me, Adina Howard. Yeah, but it's not. But I thought it was when I was little.
Oh, my God.
Where was my mama?
Oh, my God. Wait, why am I... Oh, my God, hold on, wait. Because now, I know they're like, what the hell is he thinking about? Hold on, wait. Because I know.
What? What are you talking about?
Hold on, wait.
Come back. What are you doing?
Oh, is it this? Because now I'm just on the...
I don't know what tangent you on. But anyway, so basically what happens is Dr. Cox is on the case. He's coming out, you know, they're telling him, like, hey... You just stay away from this. The people are investigating the crime. They will find, you know, the bank robbers. You don't have to harass these women. But now we see kind of Stoney's personal life. And Stoney, Bryce, what are you doing? Bryce.
Wait, come.
Bryce.
Hold on.
Oh, my gosh.
He's just thinking about you.
Hold on.
Are you playing?
Right? Huh?
We're going to have to sing it.
T-shirt in my panties on.
Hey!
T-shirt in my panties on. You like it.
Bryce.
Okay, all right, sorry.
Come back.
Sorry.
All right.
You said Adina Howard.
Thank you guys for that musical interlude. Back to our main story. So we see Stoney's personal life start to creep into the story a little bit more. Remember, Bryce kind of, he touched on, we met Blair Underwood's character at the bank. I will call him Bank Boo moving forward because I can't ever think of his name. Her Bank Boo.
Keith.
Okay, good. Because in my notes, it just says Bank Boo. So she goes to Keith's house. And she is dressed like she just came from home. You know, she just came over there for their little date. This man is in a suit with a vest and a tie. He is rich. I guess he's one of the bank owners. And so he got money. And she's not used to this kind of, like, glitz and glamour. She's like, like Bryce said from earlier, she's kind of around the way girl. So this is new for her. Bryce, I have a question. Are you cross-eyed or is your head just small?
Whoa.
Well, that's what he says to her. Right. I like looking at your eyes because you might be cross-eyed. And she's like, your head just little. You know, they're doing a lot of flirting. But she's very taken by this being a completely different environment than she's used to. Like, right. She ain't never had nobody like that. Like, you got money. And so we start to see them getting closer and closer. Meanwhile, you know, Detective Strobe is moving in on what he thinks is going on with the bank robbers.
Right. And so I think that it's important to just touch on with Stoney and Keith is that, like, she didn't want Keith. Like, Keith actively pursued her. Even though she might have been there casing the bank, like, you know, that, like, that's what she was there for. And, you know, like, she says, like, oh, it's not one of the guys I'm used to. He's like, oh, I'm not one of the I don't even know what the terminology
is. He called them roughnecks. Roughnecks.
All right. I'm putting my phone down.
Because you better not play no more Idina Howard.
I was going to Eve. But no.
No, I need a roughneck.
They all agree that they will rob a bank one more time. And they, you know, they just want to run. They want to rob it one more time. And that's it. They want to get enough money and get out. So. Yeah. They decide on the bank that they're going to rob, this bank robbery right here for me was so interesting, and I'll tell you why. So they figure out what bank they're going to rob. Queen Latifah breaks into another car, boom, 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 but we don't pull off right away because Chappelle.
She got to throw the CDs out.
Right. To get something to bump.
Yeah.
And so when they go to rob this bank, the police is outside because there is Chappelle is at work, but really outside drunk. And so
he's having a good time. Why the cops won't let this man have a good time, Bryce? Why?
I'm not bothering anybody.
He wasn't. Anyway.
So the ladies are able to go in. Queen Latifah is the getaway driver. And they go in and they're able to get the money, you know, and here each robbery there is a progression of TT. So TT is laying on the ground, you know, playing like she is a victim, and it's so funny because she's like, oh my god, I'm so scared, and
being extra like Bryce,
it's like
girl, shut up.
She like, shut up, B. And then she like, ooh.
But he's so, like, dang, I was just in character.
They're getting all the monies because, you know, we need this money. TT is actually next to a police officer and he pulls out a gun and boom, TT stop him because she's not playing. And so now they got the money and they are making their way out to the exit. And guess what? The police then call for backup for this one drunk man. But again, tell me if you feel like this is a stretch, right? But I just felt like, I wonder if this is what they're trying to show us. So they call in backup for this Caucasian man that is drunk. But the patience that I felt as though I saw the police give this drunk man was just so interesting to me. That I wonder if the director put that in there for a reason. I don't know why. Because it's like, you need five officers to handle a drunk Caucasian guy. Like, I mean, and it's the level of patience for me that is just like, oh, okay, I see y'all. But anyway, like I said,
I had a different takeaway. I think if it wasn't for recent events, I'd probably be looking at it in the same way you were. But honestly, I was more thinking, does it take five cops to do what you need to do in this moment? He's just drunk. Like, you know, there should be a way that you can do this without having to call in five cops. Having the police called on you is traumatic. I don't care what nobody says. People pulling guns on you is traumatic.
No guns were pulled on him.
Yeah, thinking you're going to be arrested is traumatic. And this is a drunk man who ain't hurt nobody. And it took five of you. What are they teaching you at the academy that it takes five people? You know, we've seen what happens when five cops surround one black man in the same movie, but also in life. Sometimes you end up with a knee in the back of your neck, you know? And so I was like almost appalled that it even got that far. Like, is there something else we could have done as opposed to bringing out armed individuals to deal with one drunk guy standing outside the bank? I don't know.
It was the patience for me. But I let him breathe. But like I said, in this movie, there were three times.
I ain't let him breathe.
times that we set it off. Okay, Frankie set it off the first time, and Queen Latifah damn sure set it off this time when the police was out there. She listened to, this was so interesting to me. Did you pick up on this? So she had to steal another car. So she went into, I guess, a parking garage, stole a car. And
a
then
suburban.
A suburban. And boom! Bust through the bank, scoop the girls up. They bust through the window and vroom, drive off. I'm like, yes! And I love each time that they like get away. They're like, yes! We did it! I loved it. So, and you know, what was so interesting was that they counted the money. They got away with like $296,000. Okay, now we talking. So that's like $75,000 per
piece.
Person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was something that I felt like I missed when I was a child. I didn't realize that they had a clear plan. They're going to go back to work for Lester. And in 3 days, when TT got court and she get her son, then after that, they're out.
We out. Well, not everybody. Cleo's
got to run the fire department. She still got an auto shop. So, like,
she was going to soup it up with her money. Dang, it was going to be nice.
So, Cleo, because, you know, Cleo watches 48 hours and is very into the streets. She's like, we can't keep the money on us or in our house, because if the police raid us, we will, this is the first place. So, they put the money in one of the buildings that they clean for Luther. Okay, I mean,
yeah, it sounded like a good idea. Like they hid it in like a vent, you know, back ducked off. So it wasn't like they just tucked it off in the corner. It was pretty secure, or so we thought. Right,
so we thought.
So we thought.
Before we even get into that, so then Keith, the bank boo, invites Stoney to a black tie event. And baby, she arrives in a kimono, and
I was just about to say that. I was like, was she wearing a kimono bathrobe?
And mind you, she had the sandals, the mask. Like she had like the. I was like, girl, and she really thought she was doing it. Now, at first, I was like, is this her outfit from the 70s party? But what I thought was so interesting was when they were there, the police knock on the door for Keith, and they like, and she Stoney answers the door. She's like, oh. And Keith is like, hi, can I help you? And they're like, there was a break-in at the parking garage, and the car next to your spot got carjacked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that detail.
I forgot about that too, honestly. I watched it and I was like, wow, that's interesting. So like, why do y'all care that much to tell him? You know,
right? Because see if he saw anything. And so for me, obviously, the movie is really trying to tie in the closer that Frankie and Keith get, like the closer her robbery schemes seems to get to him. And I just kind of sort of thought that was like the prelude to, or I might be saying that wrong, to really like the ending of their amazing night. So he takes her out. They have an amazing night. He actually
he gotta buy her a new dress. Buy her new dress.
you can't go to no black tie if it would be and then
dress like Nicki Minaj from the Your Love video.
Now mind you, I like kimonos. They nice, but it looked like a pajama set. I was like, no.
He told her black tie. What'd she say? I look like a box of crayons.
She was like, that's what Frankie said. Frankie didn't lie. So she has a Cinderella moment. He takes her to get a new. First of all, I was like, oh my gosh, she has to be so embarrassed in the store and him like telling this lady that he needs to get her a dress and this is what she wore.
She can't go nowhere looking like this with me.
Embarrassing. So she goes to the black tie event. They have an amazing night. Then we have this amazing, amazing, amazing scene of intimacy with Underwood and Jada Pinkett Smith. But I also
put your phone down. Don't you play that song.
I also was just thinking like this, like why does every sex scene in every black movie, like why is it all the same? Like I just felt like, and I also felt like that a man has to be directing this, because it was just like the sex scene, I guess, was supposed to be like sensual, but it really was just like weird for, like, I mean, like, why are you, like, dripping pearls on Jada Pinkett's, like, butt? Like, I don't
crack.
Know.
Yeah, it pearls like, in the booty crack.
I don't know. I just thought it was.
It was a lot. It was a lot. But look. Oh, my gosh.
And they play this song while under one. Okay. Oh. Under one. Don't you wanna be? Ma can't pretend. Hold me tight. Oh.
Bryce. Come back.
Oh, then friends.
Come back.
Hold me tight and don't let go.
Bryce. Come back.
Under one. Okay. So.
Look. When I was little, I used to butcher the words to that song. I was like, "Don't you know what I mean? Because I play Nintendo." Oh, like I was 5 years old. So you know, for me, this was five. I had to make it make sense for me.
I was three when it came out.
So. Yeah, like I would look. I had to make it make sense for me. But yeah, so they have this love scene, and it's a little silly love scene, but you know, whatever. We see that they've finally been intimate, and so she got her boyfriend. The problem is she met this guy while she was casing the bank. So this isn't a really good time to jump into a relationship, and I think she kind of knows it.
Yes, and she's leaving in 3 days. And so another thing that I did not pick up as a child was that I could not figure out, girl, if he just rocked your socks, why are you leaving his house sad?
Like, she's leaving in 3 days.
Me as a 7-year-old could not connect those dots. So TT, like, you know, so she has that amazing night. TT goes to see her son. The social worker is being friendlier with her. Like, yes, girl, you did what you need to do. We got a court hearing tomorrow. Like, you're going to get your son back. So while Stoney is actually
laid
on
up.
This date, laid up.
Laid up.
Mm-hmm. Laid up. The girls go back to work, and they notice that Luther's not there, and like it's new owners, and they're like, "Oh yeah, Luther gave up the cleaning business. He's not doing the cleaning no more." And they're like, "What?" So they immediately run to the stash, and it's gone. And so my question is, how did Luther find that?
That's a good question. It was in a really good hiding spot.
It was in a really
honestly.
Good hitting spot.
Yeah,
I would have to say that. But even Luther doesn't own the building, so like, but he would have had to see. I just feel like because I have to give it purpose.
Go for it.
I feel like Luther must have been friends with the security guards and the
seen
security
the cameras,
guards and the sort of cameras, and it was like they did something up there. I don't know what they did because Luther was like, and mind you, that actually, you know what? Oh my god! I just had an epiphany.
Okay.
Remember in the beginning when Luther was saying, like, y'all are not recycling. Who had 104? You didn't recycle the glass, like so. Yeah. It wants to give me the belief that maybe Luther was watching them.
Yeah, to make sure they was working. You know, when Cleo got that first $3,000, she took a week off work. She just did not come back. And then they made her go back. And he didn't even hire her back. She just kind of showed up at work in her outfit. Relatable. And so I think he had, like, reason to kind of be, like, checking their work almost. Right. Or, like, following them around to make sure that they were on task. I still don't know how he found it, honestly, because it's such a good spot. But he found it, and he's gone. And now they got that face. You know, they looking like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? Because that's $75,000 gone. Well, $75,000 a person gone.
Right. They go straight, and I love how they go straight to Black Sand, which is Dr. Dre. And I'm like, in my mind, I always was like, well, why would Dr. Dre care? But I loved how they was like, he got our money in your interest. Ooh, how you just going to tie your interest into the money that he took?
Hey, first that's of all, how you do it.
You should. First of all, y'all should have paid him when y'all got your 15K the first time.
Right.
But
he probably saw them and was like, $3,000. Y'all keep that. Y'all gonna have to. Y'all got bigger fish to fry. You wait till y'all get some real money before you start worrying about my interest. But yeah, Black Sam instantly gives away Luther. Like, he got my money. All right, we'll go get him. And they go to the hotel on 55th and 9th to go find Luther, seemingly living his best life.
Is that really the intersection?
Don't judge me. I pay attention to details. But they went to the hotel, Bryce, and Luther is in there having a good night with a nice lady that he seemingly met that day.
And Luther got his hair permed, okay?
Okay. All right. Luther had money. Luther trying to show out.
This is, honestly, they try to get the money from him. Another character pivotal moment for TT. Luther pulls out a gun on Cleo, and TT shoots him. And there's this woman there. TT, like, gets her ID, and it's like, I'm going to keep this as insurance if you ever try me. But
yeah, Cleo.
Cleo. This was my question. And honestly, how in the hell did Luther spend $265,000.
Like, that quick.
That's physically, this was one of my issues with this movie, was that, like, well, and I guess maybe because TT killed him, they really couldn't go back and forth.
But exactly. I mean,
they made it seem like the money was gone. Like, no, baby, that money is not gone.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. He probably didn't spend all of it, but he did it. He tried his best. The problem is they murdered him before he could even tell them. You know, like, when he pulled the gun on Cleo, I think in that moment, TT needs to pull the gun on him and just kind of get him to calm down to where they can maybe, like, discuss where the money is or try to talk it out. But when she pulls the trigger, that's it. And that's a problem that we see a lot of times in the policing. We will get back on that again. It's just, if you shoot before you ask questions, you can never get to the truth. You will never know the true motives and the true, like, outcomes of what this case could be, because you killed the person that you need to interview. And so with Luther dead, they have lost all of this money. He might not have spent it all, but the moment he dies, they're never getting it back.
Never.
So he, all the Cristal champagne and watches that he bought will never give them that $275,000 back.
So the police investigate it. They bring Cleo in because she fits the description.
They suspected her.
And the fact that, like, it's Luther, their boss, and they're already on. So the lady.
And her fingerprints is all over these dang CDs. She keeps throwing out the cars. Keeps throwing the CDs out the car.
Actually, if you watch and listen, they always come up with no prints. Because I didn't mind. So, yeah. And as Cleo is in the, I don't know what you call it, the lineup, she is patting her left breast, which is her pocket, basically saying, like, girl, I got your ID, and if you snitch on me, I'm coming for you. So, after that,
the lady doesn't snitch. So that's the thing. The cops, again, handling a witness like they're a criminal. They are trying to pressure this woman into saying that it's Cleo. It is Cleo. They are 100% correct. But the means is incorrect. You cannot pressure people into saying what you want to say.
Absolutely. And also, I think that it should be important to mention that she is a sex worker, and I feel like that is the reason in which why that they were treating her like that, because if she was Billie Jane, the banker's wife, best believe they would not be treating her how she, like, you know what I mean? But again, I just also felt like because she was a sex worker, that's why they was treating her like that.
Was she a sex worker though?
She was. Girl,
I'm just saying, we ain't never seen her W-2s or nothing. Like, she was just met him that day. She met him that day. He was a nice man, Bryce. He was a nice man.
Okay.
She probably was a sex worker.
I'm just saying. all of Cristal. Like, I mean, first of all, why did Luther have 7 watches at that hotel?
Look, Luther was speaking to me in these moments. I would have had Audemars. I'd have Rolexes. You give me that kind of money? I'm finna go full Cleo. We talked about this.
And I'm just like, and why are you at the cheap? Well, I mean, I guess for him and what? I'd be where all the girls are at. Tulum. Okay.
No, like a couple years ago, Santorini. You know, you have to hit all the hot spots. I don't know what the hot spot was in 96. Obviously, 55th and 9th.
To me, it was, and the hot spot for me was the Discovery Zone.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Anyway.
So, the girls.
Somehow now, Cleo makes it out of this okay.
She makes it out of it okay. Ursula's boo is free. And they are now like, we have to rob Cleo's like, we got to rob a big bank. We got to get money. And like, we got to leave today. And so then I was always wondering, like, well, if we leave today, how are we going to get TT's son?
They're going to leave tomorrow because her case is in the morning. And so I don't think, honestly, I don't think TT ever really intended on leaving. It didn't seem like she had a plan.
like, how, and I didn't want to say that, but I do believe that to be true, because it's just like, none of the, like, girl, you gonna rob a bank, and then you got court in the morning,
right?
And you know, so anyway,
but, it just didn't seem like she ever intended on getting out of the hood. Honestly, we know that Cleo doesn't. Cleo, like, they have to get out of the hood because now they got caught. But I don't think
Cleo
like,
was going right to another hood.
Right, exactly. And I think TT probably was too. I think maybe Stoney and Frankie were probably the only two with real aspirations to leave.
Well, I'll tell you my predictions after this, because I believe Frankie or Stoney would have took her and Deshaun under their wings. It's like really we see that in all of the other robberies, they've been very good at casing, at like, you know, practicing. And with this robbery, it literally happens the same day. Like the same day that Cleo gets out, like they are robbing another bank, and not just any bank. They are robbing downtown Federal. And that is where Bank Boo and Keith is at. So, and at this very same time that they are plotting to rob this bank, the detectives are at the bank giving a briefing on these robbers. And this is the moment that I had the epiphany that I always thought throughout the movie that he did not know that it was Jada. But clearly, when he is watching the tape,
He recognizes her.
And so at this moment, this is where my empathy switched to him. I'm like, is he actually thinking that he got used?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. He met her in a bank when she was casing the bank. He now has courted her and shown her a good time and all this other stuff. She's, you know, poorer than any woman that he hangs out with on a normal basis. So she does have, like, the need for the money if she is doing this. He's now at his bank getting briefed on this. He sees somebody who, you know, resembles her a little bit. She's been acting weird because, like, now she's calling him, like, hey, can you get out of the bank real quick? Like, meet me at the Soul Food restaurant real quick. You know, so it's all coming together that, oh my gosh, has she only been laying up with me and hanging out because she's trying to get close enough to case this bank and so she can pull off this robbery? Because Downtown Federal has never been successfully robbed.
Yes, because the highway is a mile away. Mm-hmm. However, but I'm sure in Bank Boo's mind, he has to be like it's like he's been the more aggressive. So it's like, how could she be be deceptive?
It could be both.
However, also thought about it this way, that like at first, like if he, I always wondered if he knew that it was her, why would he then go to meet her? Like, you know, but I also thought about it in his way is that like he needs an alibi, because if it comes back that this girl that you brought to the bank's black tie event, turned around robbed us, and you had something to do with it. So I felt like he actually went to the Soul Food restaurant when she called him really weirdly to actually protect himself, because like what would it look like if she were there and he, like, you know what I mean? Like he almost would lose his job, like Frankie.
But I'll say this. I don't think he was trying to establish an alibi. What I really got from him in that moment was when she said, "Meet me there." He said, "Yeah, be there." I think he was really just hoping, right? Like, if I get there in 5 minutes, please just be there and not robbing this bank, right? Like, he wants nothing more to believe that this is not her, because what if he is being used? But even if he's not being used, oh my gosh, I'm falling for a bank robber, you know? Right. And at this point, a murderer, because Luther is dead, you know, and he doesn't know that. But, you know, in his eyes, he's like, you know, this is a criminal, and he went to Harvard. You know, he's not used to consorting with these type of people. So for him, he's like, please just be there. You know, when I get there, just be sitting there and not robbing the bank. And so I think, I started to feel for him too in this moment.
So no later than 5 minutes after they left the briefing, the girls arrived. Now, this is where I knew, you know what I mean? Like, you ever seen a meme or like, in this moment, he knew. Why are we switching around the getaway drivers? Why is Frankie now the getaway driver? I'm confused.
Queen Latifah ran the car through the window last time. Like,
but did you live? But did they live?
Did they die? But did you die, though?
That's all the more reason that Queen Latifah should continue to be our driver. And, Frankie, you know the banks the best. That's when I was just like,
this
okay.
This was a mess.
Y'all setting this up. But what I will say is, TT went up in that bank, okay? And
She set it off.
Now, this wasn't my set it off moment, but this was honorable mentions to TT because she has come a long way because she was shooting. She was like, you know, boom. And then they're at this pivotal point where I always feel like they're getting the money, you know, boom, 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 boom. And they're getting ready to leave. And Queen Latifah say, go in there and get more money. And then she's like, oh. And then she runs and goes to get, like, more money. And at this moment, the two detectives are getting the radio call that, like, downtown Federal is being robbed for at, like, whatever. And they're like, darn it! So they make a U-turn. And then so TT gets
They catch him.
They catch him. And, like, but literally, but my thing is, like, and obviously it's a movie, so you can't. But for in real life, it's me. I'm like, damn it, Queen Latifah. If you didn't tell her to go back, y'all would have made it outside.
Right. Y'all should have left her dumb butt inside the car where she can be trusted.
Because Frankie managed the time.
Yeah.
So, the police are there. They calling them by names. They like, Frankie. No, because Frankie in the car. They like, Cleo.
Stoney. Yeah. Francesca, Stoney. We know this is you. Yeah.
And, you know, and they are looking like they're getting ready to, like, give up. And they're putting their guns down, except Queen Latifah. And then here comes the Rent-A-Cop.
Super Saver Cop. Again, this is like the third or fourth time the cops have gone outside of the means of their job to kill someone.
Well, here's the thing. This cop, I'm not so mad at his actions because
I've hated him my whole life.
I'm not mad. Like, for in this instance, I do feel like, okay, I can see why, like, but here's the thing. Where the hell did you come from? Like, you just clearly walked in front of two other cops.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. There are two cops in this movie that I hate. This is the first one. The second one is coming. Yeah. But when I tell you, like, this guy, they are, like, apprehending these people peacefully. We see it done all the time, Bryce. And he comes out of nowhere, dives in like he's the Mission Impossible, and he starts shooting TT. Of all people, most cooperative, you shoot the one who's trying to go peacefully. The one who, you know, like...
This movie, this man literally, like, dives out just shooting.
Yeah, like, he thought he was, like, it was horrible. I couldn't believe it.
And that's when Cleo set it off again, okay?
At that point, we have a shootout.
She had her Uzi, and she was letting them go.
These women have been robbing these banks peacefully for the most part, right? Like, a few people have gotten pistol whipped, probably. But for the most part, no one has gotten shot, right? This is the moment. The only person who's died is Luther, and you know why. But, you know, this is the moment where it becomes a complete shootout. This no longer is, you know, like, let's get in, get out. Let's not hurt nobody. You said we weren't going to hurt nobody, Frankie. You know, like, this is the moment it becomes a violent shootout film. Bang, bang, shoot him up. TT goes down, and Queen Latifah is not trying to hear it. Cleo is spraying the room with her guns. And they all are, actually. Their friend just got shot. They are in dire straits. They're trying to get out of here. They got to get TT to safety. All they can really do is shoot their way to the getaway car,
and try
to get out of the city.
What happened?
TT on the way out.
Girl, you should have been in there, Frankie. That's what happened.
Probably. So like we said, this bank has never been robbed successfully because they're so far away from the freeway. So you can't get away. And now we have to see them kind of navigate the streets of LA to get to the freeway so that they can get away. That's the whole point. I still don't understand where they were going to go at this point because TT doesn't have her kid.
So I mean, at this point, TT's kid was a done deal. She was just going to be on the run. But we see TT dies in the car, which is very sad.
Sad.
And you know, for me at the time, like there were two sad killings when I watched this before, and this was one of them. And this was really hard for me younger. However, didn't really, like, faze me as much because I felt like I knew it was coming. So they get in the car, and they are, like, you know, trying to get away. And at this point, it is OJ in the white Jeep, like, type of news. Yeah. Like, that the helicopter, it is on Channel 6, Channel 9. They're all covering it. And so they're, like, weaving and dodging away. And we get to one of the pivotal scenes of the movies where they go under this underpassage. And Cleo is like, get out. And they like, no, like, we can't get out. Cleo's like, get out, stay back for 60 seconds. I'm going to draw the cops' attention, and then y'all run the other way.
Yeah. So, Bryce, I will say this, and I will speak for a whole bunch of people who I have no business speaking for, but when you're a child, and this is the moment where you connect with the movie, and you like, you know what, Cleo? You the realest.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cleo lets them out. Lures the cops away. They're following her. They got the helicopters. They're surrounding her. They got the spike strips. They're doing everything it takes to stop Cleo. And when they finally get her surrounded, and she's sitting inside this big
lights her cigarette.
Yeah. She lights her cigarette. She's sitting inside her car. She drops the hydraulics on the car. She plays the music. You got the soundtrack going in the background. She lets the hydraulics up again. And then she drives the car, and they are lighting the car up, shooting it. She then gets out the car. She's been shot. And she gets out, and Bryce, what does she do? She sets it off.
She starts shooting,
and that's a wrap for Cleo. She shoots, and they shoot her. They light her up, but she goes out shooting. And for some reason, as a child, this seemed
that was
horrifying. Admirable. I mean, yeah, but it was like
admirable,
like
but it
real.
Was like, yes, like she's like the realest one. And for me as a child, that like... TT and Frankie dying were like so hard for me. But as an adult, it didn't really faze me as much rewatching it. What took me by surprise was after Cleo died, Frankie and Stoney get away. They change clothes. This is what I always said, and I said it then, and I say it now. Why didn't they? You're going to think I'm crazy. They threw their trash in the trash. They threw their clothes like in the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch, I would have got in the trash can and been there all night.
No. Because here's the thing. They're trying to get out of the town, and they know the bus is coming. They know the bus to Tijuana is right there.
So,
and they're trying to get to the bus stop. Because if they wait tomorrow, then they still got to sneak out of the city, right? But if, like, if we could just get to the bus stop right now, this is over with. No one's investigating us. We're out of here.
So that was the plan to get to the bus to Tijuana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they split up. Meet me at the bus stop. I'll see you in a little bit. And that's when they split up. And then that's the last time we see them together, honestly.
See, for me, I would have just gotten a trash can, been in the trash can to the early morning. In the early morning, made my way to the sub. Like, that's just would have been me. But anyway,
yeah.
We get to Vivica Fox. And for me, this scene was so hard to watch.
Well, let me set the tone.
Please.
So you got Stoney makes it to the bus. She grabs a sombrero and she gets on the bus to Tijuana and she is good. Woo, we did it. Well, then they pan over to Frankie, who is now surrounded by the cops in very much a very similar way to Cleo, but she's standing in the middle of the street with these very police officers who have been pretty much hassling her since the bank robbery. She's staring at the detective Strobe and the other detective, and all these guns are drawn on her. She's staring at the bus. She can see it. It's about 50 yards away. If she could just get to the bus, then she's fine. But she's cornered. And now we have the moment that kind of wraps the film all up, Bryson. So you go ahead.
It's just that, you know, well, first of all, I mean, at this point, and this is just, first of all, let just Spicy Brycey come out for 2 seconds. Then like,
go for it.
Will come back. Girl, why are you still trying to make it to that bus? I mean, like,
no, look, I don't have an issue with her trying to make it to the bus. She tried to make it to the bus.
Here's my thing, though. Like, this is, again, let me just preference. This is Spicy Brycey. Sis, it's 80 cops behind you. They see you.
They're going to get on the bus.
They're going to stop.
Pull the bus over.
The trash can ain't sounding like a bad idea. Okay?
It's not a bad idea for her, at least.
Anyway. So that's Spicy Brycey. So, for me, it's just that, you know, this whole movie, Vivica Fox has been like somewhat of the ringleader in the sense that she was wronged at her work when she was trying to do good. And now here's an opportunity that obviously robbing banks is not good, but you know, here's a Bumpy Johnson type of mind frame. Let me get this money and get up out of here. And so I understand and I just can relate to Vivica Fox and just, or Frankie, just so much in this moment in the sense of like, I just can't never get ahead. Like, I'm a black woman. Like, I'm damned if I do. I'm damned if I don't. And just for me at this pivotal moment was when the same officer that was battering.
Detective Strobe.
Strobe, who was essentially like battering her when we first meet him. Like, what is the procedure when you're being robbed? And so in this moment, I did see somewhat good in Detective Strobe, because I honestly felt like he did not want Frankie to die. Like, and like, you know, he literally put, I guess, his life on the line and really like dropped his gun, went up to Frankie and was like, don't do it, Francesca, don't do it. And then she pulls out a gun and it's like, ooh, I'm getting chills.
Yeah, so she pulls a gun on him, and she does the same thing he did to her at the beginning of the movie. She said, what's the procedure when you have a gun in your face? Because her point at the very beginning when she gets robbed is like, yeah, I knew the procedure, but someone was trying to kill me.
Right.
And I did not act in the way that you wanted me to act because there was a gun in my face. So now she has him at gunpoint, and she's like, what would you do? This is the time where the second cop that I hate, and I have always hated my whole life, shows up. So the whole entire time, Detective Strobe is telling these people, put
don't
your guns
shoot.
Down.
Right.
Don't shoot. Stand down. Da-da-da-da-da. Frankie decides it's over. She turns around and she tries to run to the bank. To the bus.
But
and
at this point, she's not garnishing a weapon. She's not, pointing a gun at him.
She is just running for her life. And Stoney is watching from the bus window. Like, she can see all of this happening. And Frankie gets about four steps and then Super Saver Cop number 3 shows up and shoot. Well, he's already sitting there, but he pulls the trigger. The same cops that have been told to stand down a million times, he decides to take it upon himself to pull the trigger. And that is the end of Frankie as we know it.
Right. And for me, it's just like, why y'all shooting her in the back? Y'all can't, there's no other way to apprehend her.
I mean, again, look, I want to be very clear, because it's going to sound like I've been very hard on the police, which I am, and I am in life. But it's because of my own experiences with the police have not been great. And so I'm able to look at them and hold them to a higher standard, because a lot of the things that they've done has affected people in my community, as well as my family and myself, in adverse ways that I don't appreciate. I will say this. All of the people in this movie were criminals. All of the women that were involved in the bank robbery were criminals, and they had committed violent crimes, and they did deserve to have to face the justice system according to, you know, their crimes. I do not think you should murder anybody all the time. Like, murder should not be your first go-to when it comes to black people. And I will always stand against that. If your life is if you are in mortal peril, and I'm talking about like someone has a gun on you, then yeah, okay, fine. But if someone is running away, you know, with no gun in their hand at that point, maybe you don't have to shoot them in the back, because like Bryce was saying, Spicy said, you could just pull the bus over, you know, or, you know, maybe
you
if
have
Tiki
a helicopter
puts her
watching car.
Right. Maybe if TT has put her gun down in the bank, maybe Rent-A-Cop doesn't need to show up and start shooting at her because her gun is on the ground. You know, like, there are situations that maybe some of this could have been diffused. So I just want to go on record and say that, like, look, no, I don't love the cops. I think the police should be abolished and that we should think of other ways to protect ourselves from crime. However, these people were all criminals. And I just think that they could have faced the justice system had they all not been brutally murdered.
Right.
Yeah.
And Stoney gets away on the bus, and Detective Strobe sees Stoney on the bus and feels like enough damage has been done. And, you know, he killed her brother, and he kind of sort of lets her go. And
killed her brother, all her friends.
So, I mean, and that's where I felt like, I don't know. It's hard for me to have compassion for Detective Strobe, but I want to feel like he was trying to do it. Like, I don't know. I'm conflicted on him a little bit. Like, I feel like he definitely has biases.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't know. I just we got to see. I felt like his interaction with them at the bank when the rent-a-cop killed Titi, I felt like he was being sincere in that moment. I also felt like him with Frankie, he was being very sincere in that moment. And I also just felt like him letting Stoney go was like I don't know. So that, I don't know what that does for my heart for me. I don't
No, it's a good point. They humanize him in that moment, right? From the moment the last bank robbery starts and he starts to realize, like, oh my God, am I part of the problem? Like, am I part of the reason why this is all set in motion? If had we not berated Frankie at the bank and, you know, accused her of this, and had we not killed Stoney's brother, would they even be doing this right now? So, yeah, it humanizes him to see Stoney and even in the Frankie moment. You kind of think he might have let Frankie go had she made it to the bus, just the way he was acting. So, yeah, it humanizes him. But for me, not enough to make me not hate him. I mean, like I said, the cops that I hated in the movie, he wasn't one of them, because I think this does humanize him. But looking back at it, no, this could have been avoided, and this is largely his fault. Not completely, because you can't control people's reactions to what you do. But I do put a lot of this at his feet. And so, no, I didn't really feel bad for him. I was happy he let Stoney go, and that's about it for me.
Right, and then Stoney makes it to Tijuana. She cuts her hair off. She's got all the money. She calls Bank Boo and says, I'm safe. And he goes, and Stoney. And she hangs up.
She hangs up. Look, and ain't no way you going back to the puppy for the bank, you know?
And now she drives off into the sunset in a red Jeep.
You were my sister, my strength. That's the saddest song. Does that song always make you sad?
It does. It's like one of the songs I want played at my funeral.
Oh, I'll make sure that happens.
Yes.
My favorite part about this ending was Jada Pinkett cutting her hair off, because this is the Jada Pinkett I know. Like, I was like, oh, look, it's Woo. You know, so I was not your Woo, but, you know, Woo, Jada Pinkett Woo. Very happy to see her in looking like Peaches. And that's how the movie ends. That's it. She drives off into the sunset with all this money, and she remembers her friends and the friends she made along the way, and the buppy from the bank, and that's it. Set it off.
So, I mean, I think rewatching it definitely did not depreciate for me. I think rewatching it gave me more perspective, and especially as a black man in my 30s, really kind of like just made me seem like, wow, these systemic issues that push people to do these things just make me realize how real they are. A lot of the times, I think when I was younger and people, like, you know, they would turn to crime or different things or the Bumpy Johnson's way. When I was younger, I would feel like, you've got a choice. You can, like, you know, but the older I get and the more I work in communities and the more I see, some people really don't have options. And, like, you know, they don't have resources. And, you know, you put a whole bunch of people with no resources, like, what do you think is going to happen? So it kind of made me have a deeper understanding for the movie. And, it made me realize that Frankie is the lead character, not Jada.
Frankie, this story is largely, you know, on the shoulders of Vivica A. Fox to kind of carry. Stoney is the person we're supposed to get emotionally attached to for her personal life, but had not been for the trauma that Vivica or Frankie suffers throughout the beginning of the movie, we probably don't get to this point. So, yeah, this is definitely, I think, probably one of her breakout roles. I know she was in Independence Day or something, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, this was probably the role that said, okay, she can do this on a large scale. She can be in all these good films. Like, I don't think you get you don't get anything better from anybody else in this moment than what you get from her. She's really doing some great acting here, and I very much appreciated it.
Yeah, I loved it. Kimberly Elise, hats off to her. I thought her character was very interesting. And I think as a child watching, I was like, is something wrong with her? But
grow up, grow up.
I think that, you know, older me, I was able to have just more compassion and more sympathy for her and what she was going through. And I just I just understood her story a lot more as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think watching it as an adult kind of humanized all of them. Because I think when we were watching it as kids, this was like a cops and robbers movie. You know, like the bad guys, and, you know, we relate to the bad guys because they look like us and they, you know, are going through similar situations that we know or whatever. But, you know, ultimately they're bank robbers and, you know, criminals get caught and they go to jail or they die or whatever. And now that you are an adult, you're able to look at it and say, man, these are people. All of these people were people. Even Detective Strobe, I don't like him, but he's a person. And, you know, so that's why you can humanize him in that moment and actually feel something for him. That's why you can feel something for all these criminals, because you're like, wow, you know, they didn't just get dropped on the face of the earth as a hardened criminal. They have stories and lives that matter. And it's easy to look at that now. But yeah, when I was younger, I definitely missed that a lot. And so I was very happy that you allowed me to kind of go back and relive this movie, Bryce. I didn't realize I was going to feel so much. You know, I knew it was like a tense one, but I didn't know it was going to be like something like it made me sad. You know, I don't know if I'm going to watch Set It Off anytime soon again. You know, it's just kind of sad.
Sometimes, let me ask you this. Sometimes certain movies, the feeling that it leaves me with, as an adult, I don't want to watch it again. Like, I'd be like, I didn't necessarily have this feeling going into this movie, but I absolutely have this feeling now that, like, I think, and don't get me wrong, it's a classic, but I'm like, I think just, you know, I'm not sure when I watch Set It Off again, again, in the sense of, like, whatever. But sometimes there's just, I have to be in the mood for certain movies and, like, you know, different things. And I just get emotionally attached, or how I left a movie is how it stays with me. But Purple Pants Posse, this has been such a fun experience. I love this space that we've created to review these movies. And so Chappelle and I, on the sidebar, I picked this movie. And so I said the next movie is for Chappelle to pick. But I feel like we've created a new rule on the movie, that the next movie has to have somebody from this movie in it. And I mean, it's infinite. So, you know. Because there's so many people in here.
Yeah, there's so many people. Look, I had an idea for what we were going to do next. But since we have a new format, I got some thoughts. So I don't know what we're going to do yet. But I'll shoot you some ideas and see what you like.
All right, I appreciate you. Anything, what's popping with you before we go?
You know, I'm all over the place these days. Working, as you know. my regular 8-to-5 and doing some community stuff as well. But, you know, podcast-wise, I'm on post-show recaps every week talking about The Walking Dead with Jessica Lease. This season is about to end, and then Fear the Walking Dead is going to start. So you'll be, if you're a listener to post-show recaps and The Walking Dead, then you'll be hearing me a little bit more moving forward. Nice. Rob Sesternino and I have been covering classic reality TV shows, Bryson. This might be something I might tap you for, actually, because every week we watch one episode of a classic reality TV show and talk about it, break it down, and see if people are interested in maybe doing a rewatch of it. But now we're just exploring those shows. So I've been telling people to kind of submit your ideas of what you would like Rob and I to cover with our special guest for the week, whoever that is. And we'll talk about it and kind of talk about the show in large and get into the whatever your favorite episode of that show is. So, like, if you're America's Next Top Model person, maybe it's, you know, someone stealing somebody's granola bars. Or, you know, if it's if you're a Survivor person, maybe it's, you know, the third boot from Kyle.
But here you go. Here you go.
I'm just saying, if you have a favorite episode of reality TV and you want a guest on that, Bryce, you definitely have a...
I thought it was just TV shows, because I was like, Living Single. But okay, got too high.
No, we're not going to get into Regine. Okay. But no, reality TV strictly right now. And then, Bryce, I think that's about it. Recently did a Robin Akiva Need a Podcast episode. Bryce, it was foolish. Don't worry. You don't got to listen to it. Oh. But yeah, it was a good time. But I'm around and I'm happy that
you out here in these podcast streets, Chappelle. Okay,
I be hanging out. You know what I'm saying? I go wherever people want me.
I'm here for it. The breakout star or HAP classes 2020. I know people don't like that, but ooh, listen, I said it.
thank you. But yeah, anytime you want me to talk about a movie with you, Bryce, or anything, we might need to talk about Living Single because it sounds like you itching to. But anytime you want to talk about a movie or something, yeah, give me a call. I'll be ready.
Well, what you mean? We already got a schedule. So once a month, okay?
Yeah. Well, I'll see you next month then.
Oh, listen. All right, Chappelle, it's been so great. Thank you. Keep up all the good work. You know, I can't wait to hear you. And yeah, I'm out. Okay. But before we go, Chappelle. I need that money.
Hey. I still like you said we weren't going supposed to hurt nobody, Frankie. No, there's some good lines from this one.
It definitely is. All right.
The following message is brought to you by... Give me a B.
B.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me an R.
R.
Give me a B. B, 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 B.
Let me hear it.
B, A, R, B.
Greetings to my beautiful friends. Well, guys, let's get personal today. No one gets to decide who you are except for you, period. No one gets to tell you how capable you are or who you can become. People will undoubtedly talk and give their opinions like they know something you don't. And some people will not believe in you simply because they view the world from a lens of impossible. But my beautiful friend, you get to decide who to believe. You can believe the discouraging teacher and the pessimistic friend, or you can believe the little voice inside of you that knows you are made for more. The voice inside of you that believes in you. Love you.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's freak, 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 freak of the week. Bang, bang. So you know baby boy was chilling out on this Easter weekend, minding my business, enjoying the weather here that Philadelphia has gracefully given us. You know, it wasn't raining this weekend. The sun was out and baby boy was in his bed watching Seaspiracy. Whew, child, I don't want to eat no more seafood. If y'all watched that, let me know. But I happened to be scrolling through the Instagram and I came across my girl, Sophie Clark. You know, I love me some Sophie and you know, I love me some Bobby. Y'all know I love them. I love me Sophie. Hey, Sophie. And so Sophie posted this photo. She was in all black holding some coffee, more like tea. And the caption read, Gray Balayage Update. And baby, Sophie got a belly. She got a baby bump. And I am screaming. I did not know Sophie was with child. I did not know that Sophie was going to be a mom. I didn't know that Bobby was going to be a zaddy. So here at the Purple Pants Podcast, I want to wish my friends, Bobby and Sophie, congratulations. So you know I had to make Sophie Freak of the Week. I'm so excited. And Sophie, if you're listening, you know baby boy is a midwife. So listen, you want a home delivery? Come on, let's get the $5.99 pool, fill it up with water. Baby, we can have a home delivery if you want, okay? Listen, breathe. Breathe. Okay, listen, we can do it, girl. So you guys know what to do. Head on over to Sophie's Instagram, which is Sophie G. Clark, and let her know she is the freak of the week. Seriously, congratulations, Sophie and Bobby. I know that you guys are going to be amazing parents, okay? I'm already titling myself Uncle Bryce. So if Sophie and her bundle of joy are freak of the week, that means we done set this whole episode off and we are coming to an end of another great episode. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to my podcast, The Purple Pants Podcast, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcast from. You know Uncle Pookie, he got it in the back of his truck. So listen, if you know you're not subscribed that way, you better go holler at my Uncle Pookie. Make sure you write a review. Make sure you give your baby boy some 5 stars. Now let me say it again. Make sure you write a review. Can someone that has listened to this episode this week, or listen to Living Your Truth, or listen to Black Boy Joy, if you could write a review, baby boy loves to read the reviews, okay? And make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a cousin to tell an uncle to tell a sister to set it off, cause
it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You trying to unwind? You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You trying to get your snack? You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18
plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.